We now welcome on the call the head coach at UAlbany, Greg Gattuso. Good morning, Coach Gattuso.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm well. Congratulations to you, your staff, team, for earning a berth in the playoffs. And it comes after a 31-26 win over your rival, Stony Brook, able to take the Golden Apple for the second year in a row. Before we look ahead to your playoff game, just talk about the game on Saturday.
You know, first of all, it's nice to be on this call. I didn't know if this was like a secret thing or not, but I'm glad to be here. Stony Brook, you know, it was a typical Stony Brook Albany CAA football game. You know, we jumped out to an early lead. We had a chance to really put them in a hole and turn the ball over. And you credit, you know, I know Chuck, and I know the type of coaches on that staff. They fought their way back into the football game, which isn't easy to do, you know, when you're playing for, you know, a trophy, basically. And I think it says a lot about the coaching staff and their players. They fought it all the way back and cut the lead to four. They did a good job adjusting, but we were able in the fourth quarter to get back on track offensively. And, you know, I just thought our defense was playing pretty well. They were, you know, one of the touchdowns was a scoop and score. And so at the end of the day, we got a good win against a tough football team at their field, and it gave us our eighth win. And, you know, it's something that we're, you know, excited about is, you know, it's being second place alone in our conference is a place that Albany hasn't been, and we're excited about that as well.
Got an immediate question to you if you get that for us, Pasha.
Your first question is from the line of Kyle Kingsing with Flow Sports.
Hey, Coach, was there any point during this season or maybe even in the preseason when you felt like this group had a shot at really being kind of a special team?
You know, I'll go back to Delaware last year and to Weck, start his first game again, and starting then 2 weeks later to beat the number 10 team in the country, Stony Brook, and that we had with Jeff that we could, and we had a pretty good supporting cast, but I believe that his ability as a quarterback would give us a chance to finish a lot better than a lot of people thought we could, and I think that played out as the year went on.
And I know before you'd mentioned that you had kind of a rough history with committees, you know, after 2016. How was the kind of vibe and atmosphere after Saturday evening and going into yesterday before the selection show?
You know, one thing I've never been is a committee guy. You know, if I would have had to go before a committee to marry my wife, I probably would have got rejected. So I'm a big believer in earning it on the field. It hurt 3 years ago. But these kids, they understood that we talked a lot about we control our own destiny. We do. And they really adopted that as a theme and a motto as the year went on, and we were able to do it. You know, I give all the credit in the world to our coaches and most importantly, these football players for a great accomplishment so far in the season.
Thank you.
Sure.
Your next question is from the line of Greg Medea with the Daily News Record.
Hey, Greg, just the combination of Jeff Undercutler and Carl Mofer, what has it meant to your team just based on what you can do, both passing the ball and running it? How has it helped your offense? What kind of trouble does it put opposing defenses in?
Yeah, I think, like I said, we felt like we had a supporting cast. You know, we had three pretty good seniors coming back on the other line, pretty good at tight end. We think Carl is as good or better than any back in the conference. He's very good. We've been blessed with good running backs at Albany. And we had a couple receivers that could really play, so the quarterback was the missing piece. Carl's just a – I don't know how the other coaches view Carl sometimes because I don't know that he kind of looks exactly like most running backs, but he's just a great football player. I always tell people around our program, I can move Carl to H-back or linebacker, and he'd probably make all-conference. He's just a good football player. And you could see in that Stony Brook game, he made some critical runs for us. The fourth and three for the winning touchdown where I don't know that we really blocked real well for him, and he finds a way. So he's not just a runner. He's a terrific blocker, and he's a great receiver. So we're blessed to have Carl on our team.
Yeah, and then just what do you see with Central Connecticut State as you start to look ahead to them?
You know, I come from that background. I was head coach at Duquesne for a long time, and they remind me a lot of the teams that I coached at Duquesne where they're geared to beat, to play up. They're athletic. They can throw the ball. The quarterback's very dangerous, runs around. He's got a strong arm. Defensively, they're going to do everything they can to shut the run game down. They're well coached. I know Coach McCarthy worked for me for a year. He's a very high quality person and a high quality football coach. And we know what we're in for this week. You know, all you have to do is turn it back a year and see what Duquesne did last year at a CAA team. They're a good football team and a good program, and they're certainly not to be taken lightly. That's for sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Greg, you talked about the accomplishment of the second place finish in the CAA and all that. What does the accomplishment mean to make the playoffs for the first time as a member of the CAA, as difficult as this league is, and first time for the school since 2011?
Yeah, you know, like I said, we sat at a function similar 3 years ago and really believed we had the resume to get in and didn't get in. And I'm not going to lie to you, I wasn't relieved until our name popped up on the board, and it was traumatic a few years ago. But I do think that imprint from that day made our kids understand the importance of winning games and getting to a certain number of games. We don't have some of the name recognition that some other teams in this conference have, and so we have to kick our way and fight our way in. So I think the kids are tough and resilient, and for us to finish in second place is great. It's not our goal, but it's certainly a step in that direction, and to be there all alone is a good feeling.
You've got certainly, while your team does it, you certainly have experience in the postseason and the playoffs. What's going to be the messages as you head out and meet with your team?
You know, I never change our message very much. I talk to my team about the man in the mirror, and I talk to them about, our effort. We don't change very much. You know, we just don't. And that's been my upbringing. I've been in programs at times where big things are made about certain teams or certain games. I just don't subscribe to it. And, you know, if we play our game Saturday, we're going to be in great position to win. And that's what we have to do. When we get out of our game, like we did with the couple turnovers in the Stony Brook game, we open the door for the opponent to jump out on us or to get back in the game. So we just got to keep doing our jobs and work hard. There's no real message change. We're going to have to adapt because it's a different week and there's a holiday. There's all these different things. But we're going to get our work done, and we're going to be ready to play Saturday.
Obviously, a lot of focus on Jeff and Carl and Juwan and the great players on offense, and we've talked the last few weeks about how much better your defense has been, especially in the second half of the year. Last Saturday, you had five more sacks and then forced two turnovers. I think that's up to 26 for the conference. For the year. Why has that group been so successful in forcing turnovers, and how big is that going to be for you in this playoff run?
It's huge, and. You know, the games we lost this year revolved around giving up big plays and turnovers and on the bad side of turnovers. So I think that and I just literally talked to my defensive staff an hour ago about how happy I was and proud of them that they're coaching within the structure that we have set. Our goal is to eliminate big plays and turn the opponent over. You know, we're never going to be statistically the lowest yardage in the league. That's not our goal. When you look at statistics and the goals that we cherish and care about, we're good at. And that's what helps us be a good team, and it's the players' dedication to the philosophy. Our guys are always trying to pull the ball out. They live and breathe it, and they have to keep doing it. And that's what it's going to take in the playoffs. We're playing a higher-ranked team from the NEC. And if we're going to win this game, we have to play a great style of defense and turn them over.
And before I let you go, how nice to be able to play this game at home.
Yeah, you know, I gave Mark Benson a big hug. I know how there's a bid process. So I get some of this, how these things work. I just, you know, our president Rodriguez was at the viewing party Sunday, and I know that the dedication from the university to try to give our kids a great experience is there. And we're grateful to be playing at home. We've been pretty good at the Bob, as they call it, and we're just looking forward to trying to get our fans out and to try to get a really good crowd to see this football team compete in the NCAA playoffs.
All right, Greg. Congratulations again. Thanks for taking time with us this morning, and hopefully we'll talk again next Monday.
I hope so. I like these after-season conferences.
All right. I hope we're doing it again. Good luck, Saturday.
Yep. All right, man. See you, bye.